Afilik Hachanuk, everybody, as we begin the next parak, say the taniot elu. So we've been talking about all these taniot and the complex gradual attack, so to speak, because pigia, remember, is called the tefillah is pigia, so it's like a milchama. So the gradual escalation of the tefillahs and the taniyos, each one gets more and more chomer than the others. We have the three of the yechidim, and then the first three that begin only in the morning, and then the next three that begin the next the night before, and then we have the last seven where we take out the teva to the outdoors, and we have all of these special 24 brachas. So this is a whole strategy of gradated taniyot, but all of this is only where we're talking about a gradual breakdown of the natural processes. So in other words, it was supposed to rain. We think this means Berevir Rishona. We'll take it to mean that now, but in fact, the Gemara is going to adjust it. But all of this is talking about where it didn't rain on time. You know, so it didn't rain on time. It's not the end of the world. You can wait a little bit for the rain, but it's time to get worried. You know, okay, so we start the Yechidim. They start their Taniyot, but things get worse if it doesn't come down now, even by the second time. So then we get involved with the tzibur. So, but that's because the rain issue is, in fact, a gradually growing disaster. But if you have a disaster on hand, then we don't use the gradual. There's no gradualism. There's an immediate gezeira. Naftali looks awfully mad this morning. There's an immediate gezeira. It should be Yimei, Halel, Haidah, and Simcha. And all of the enemies should disappear quickly. No longer a need to be angry. Bezrat Hashem, we should see a Yeshua Gedela Furkan Kayom Hazeh. So, if there's a natural disaster, and that is something that requires immediate response, forget the gradualism. We immediately go to the maximal tainus, like the last taniyot, and we start with the full scale Bakoshes and blowing the shofar and the brochas, the whole business. So then matriin, let's say tzimochim shishonu, matriin aleyem miyad. If there's a sign of damage to the tzimochim that can still possibly get fixed, so then we start the full-scale taniyot immediately. So Rashi learns the tzimochim shishonu is that there was mamish, other things start growing, weeds start coming up and destroying the tzmachim. Other learn that there are mutations in the tzmachim and the wheat is growing in a strange way, that there's not sufficient space for the seedlings on top of the kun and so on and so forth. But whatever, look, the bottom line is, as the Shalos for Tshuvas, a number of different Shalos for Tshuvas on this issue, obviously over the Duras that came up with different issues, should we immediately start fasting? Basically, anything that, according to that zman and that place and the science of that time, is something that is a looming catastrophe that can still be averted, that's when we start the immediate chumrah of the geshamim. And the reason is that they are anything that requires immediate help, then we have to go for the immediate help. So then, matrinali, anything that could be now pretends real catastrophe. So it started to rain. Because it started to rain, this is a worse situation. Because it started to rain, so everything blooms and everything blossoms. Everybody's familiar with this phenomenon. Sometimes there's a warming period in the middle of the winter and the plants start blooming and then all of a sudden there's a frost and it goes, that's a disaster. Now, this is the same kind of issue. It started to rain. The plants start growing and they do that first spurt of rapid growth and then they run out of moisture. And if they run out of moisture in the middle of that growth spurt, then they can be permanently damaged if we don't get immediate water onto them. So therefore, if there's 40 days between that first geshem and the next geshem, then on these kind of things, we have to be matrin aleihem. Why? Because that's called a makat batsoret. Now, batsoret is basically a tsar in which you will not have what to eat. But it doesn't mean that you are currently starving. That's called a kafna. Batsaret means that there's a drastic drop in the food supply, which portends a possible famine that's coming up if nothing is going to change. So a makat batsaret, which is on its way to becoming an actual fast, which is called kafna, so then we also will daven. Let's say that it did rain, but it didn't rain correctly. So there was only rain that was good for the plants, let's say, for the corn or for the wheat. But it was not good for trees. And you'll remember that we learned earlier in the Maseka that for trees, you need a certain type of rain, a thicker rain that penetrates more deeply. And the Gemara is going to go through this in a minute, so it's not going to die for us to go back. But if you think about it, we already had this issue. Some types of rain are better for tzmachim. Some types of rain are better for ilanot. Some types of rain are better for the water supply. It's fine. So if you got the rain that was sufficient for the tzmachim, but not for the ilanot, or vice versa, you got rain that was good for ilanot, but was not good for the tzmachim, or maybe it was even good for both, but there wasn't enough rain that would fill up the barot, shichinu, marot, so the reservoirs are empty, and then matrin aleim yad, this is also, even though it's been raining, but now it's been the same 40 days and nothing's happening, that requires an immediate response. The chain. Also, remember that we had in the pasuk that we analyzed earlier that an ear himtarti al irachat val irachat lo hamtir. And remember, we said both of them are leklola, and we darshan hamtir shamtei matar. So we're going to go through that again later on. But in that case where you have a city, you have two cities next to each other. One of them gets rain, and the other one doesn't get rain. Dechtiv himtarti al irachat val irachat lo hamtir chelka achat timatar. So that is a sign that there is a specific Midas Hadin that is up against that particular place. And because of that, that's a disaster. And they have to be mit'aneh umatra'at. So they do both the tainis and the special tefillahs. But the other cities that are around, even though they are clearly going to be affected, how will they be affected? Because the fact is that people are going to now make their food supply need to spread out. There's going to be additional market forces to raise prices. They're going to be coming to buy in your area because their own agricultural fell. And because of that, in terms of the overall economy, you are also going to suffer. So because of that, you also need the tainis, but you don't go so far as to do the big tefillahs. And the shofars. Rabbi Akiva says, actually, just the opposite. The tefillah is always in order, but the tainis is a sign of something that is more dangerous. So they're not misanets. V'chein ir sheyesh ba dever o mapolet. Suppose, so a virus breaks out in one city, or suppose there have been earthquakes or some type of natural phenomena, winds, whatever, that have been making buildings collapse in that area, then that city is mitaneh umitra'at, v'chotz vivoteh mitanot v'lo matriot. Whereas according to Rabbi Akiva, again, it's the matriot. That's something that you should always do. Mitanot are only where you're being affected directly. Ezehu dever. But now, it's all very nice to talk about dever in the sense of a plague. I mean, what defines a plague as opposed to just, you know, variations in the types of illnesses and flus? I mean, why would you decide that something is dangerous to the point that you have this high-powered response? So what would be considered a dever would be a town that is large enough to be motziah chamesh meot ragli. So it's large enough to raise an army where they would have 500 soldiers. That means that there has to be basically enough. We're not talking about kids. We're not talking about the women. We're talking about that the population is enough that besides all of the non-fighting material, you would have 500 ragli. That would be regular foot soldiers. And that means that the general population is large enough to support that. And then in 3 days, What happened is Yatsumi Menu Shlosha Metim. So those people, three died within 3 days. Ze Achazeh, this is even one person on every day. That's considered to be a dever. But if less than those number of people die, and obviously this is prorated, if less than those number of people die, and we're talking about the able-bodied people that are roid to go out and fight, they're strong, and they're in good shape. That's why it says, Dafka, the Chamesh Meod Ragli. Pachot Mikan, if less people die, or if they die in fewer days, so let's say you have three people die in 1 day. Three people dying in 1 day is not the sign of a plague. It's just, it's a bad day. I mean, we need the same thing that we have by the shore. So we need to see patterns that are patterns both in the impact and in the times that the impact occurs. So if it's less people or if it's less time, then it's not considered to be a dever that is mechayev you in hatra. Now, there are some things that wherever you hear about it, you have to be, even though it's not local, al elu matri'in b'chol makom, because these are the kind of things that spread. It's not clear what's happening. Al hashidafon v'al hayerakon. So let's say we have wind ruined tvua, or we have yellowing of the plants, and that's the kind of thing that can just spread, as every gardener knows. V'al arbe, v'al hachasil. So if you have locusts, whether it's arba locusts or whether it's chasil locusts, the chasil is the lashon of mechasel. So it's like you say in Arabic, similar words, which is halas, or the same letters as chasil, something that wipes things out completely. So the chasil is something that just leaves you without anything left on the trees. The arba, it causes a tremendous amount of damage, but it does not take everything. You know, the classic pictures of the locust plagues are chasil locusts. The ala chayara'a, where you've got these wild animals that started to actually attack people, the ala cherev, or if war breaks out, and war has a tendency to spread. So you may think that things are very nice because only the Poles are suffering, you know, but it isn't much time before London starts suffering and so on. So because of that, you have to recognize these kind of things, they have a tendency to get beyond the local and they start to become global in their impact. And therefore, everybody has to respond. It's all very nice to say that, you know, it doesn't affect us. You know, that's like saying, oh, that South African variant, that Omicron, that's only for South Africans. That ain't going to touch anybody else. All we got to do is make sure no South Africans come to the country. We'll be fine. So Maaseh sheyardu zikenim Yerushalayim la'orehem v'gazrutanit. It once happened that Mamish, the Shilim zikenim, left Yerushalayim, each to go to their own city, from where they came from, to make sure that their cities were gozer ta'anit, no matter where they were. Why? Because they knew, because of reports that came into Sanhedrin, they knew that there was melo pi tanur shidafon ba'ashkelon, was a tiny amount, we're going to discuss what that amount is, it was a tiny amount of damage to the grain that was growing in Ashkelon. And they were gozer tainis all over the place. And then there was another maisa where there was an attack of wolves that ate up two kids. And that was on the other side of the Yarden. They were gozer tainis all over Yisrael because of it. Rabbi Yossi said, what ate up? They didn't eat up. They just got on one of those Attenborough movies. They were walking through the city. And that was dangerous enough, you know. I mean, heck, when the penguins start walking through the streets of Cape Town, you know it's all over. So lo al sha'achlu, ela al sha'nir'u. Okay, now, there's also times where if something is an immediate sakonas nefashas, that then we're also matir on Shabbos to do all of the tefillahs and so on. What would that be? Al elu matir in b'Shabbat. Let's say a city was surrounded by goyim, or maybe there was a river that was going to flood an entire city, and that can rise quickly. There's a ship out there that needs immediate help because it's in the middle of a hurricane and can easily sink, and because of that, we should daven. Rabbi Yossi says, wait a minute. You're talking about on Shabbos? Listen, you can make all the telephone calls you want. You can go and say Mayday. You can use your radio. You could be Mechallel Shabbos. But what makes you think that anybody's interested in your tefillas? I mean, why should you daven on Shabbos as if God gives a hang that this ship should sink? You don't have any reason to believe that your tefillas are useful tefillas. So fine, Ezra, you could go and be Mechallel Shabbos to call for help. But why would you go and daven? That's pretty shocking, right? So in other words, he's talking about over here in Sibur, there's a gezeira that the Chachomim made that we're not making a Shabbos, which is a time of Menucha, Sanefesh, and so on, into a time for Sibur to be Mispal. Obviously, it's not saying you shouldn't be Mispal. Okay, at least some of the Rishonim say that. Shimon HaTimni Omer, Af Al HaDever, even for Dever, you have an immediate chashash of sekanas sefashas, and you do that on Shabbos. By the way, as you know, we've spoken about this many times, exactly how to pronounce Shimon HaTimni or Shimon HaTemani is a question of long-standing. Rashi says he's from Timna, and therefore, obviously, it's HaTimni. But there are other Mefarshim who say that he's from Teiman, and therefore it's the classic Shimon HaTemani, and that's what it's referring to. Okay, anyway, the bottom line is, Al Kol Tzara Shelo Tavo LaTzibur, anything that you have to decide, we use the Lashon, of course, that's a euphemism, because we don't want to say on a Tzara Shetavo LaTzibur, so say, on any catastrophe that shouldn't come Chas V'Shalom on the Tzibur, Matrilina land. One thing that we do not do is rov gishamim. If you have too much rain, and we're talking about too much rain, that's not damaging rain. It's not endangering your food supply, but it is definitely an awful thing because you can't get out of the house. The kids are driving you crazy. You feel like you've been in lockdown for 2 years. The rain hasn't stopped. You can't get out to the makolet without sinking into the mud. Okay, but Lamaisa, the agriculture is not being destroyed. So that we don't do. And Ma said, it was once a story like this, that Choni HaMa'agel, they came to and they said, we haven't had any rain for a long time. Please go out and daven for us. So he said to them, if I'm going to go out and daven for you, then you better go out and bring in your Tanurei Pesachim, which were made out of just hardened clay. And, when I daven for rain, man, it rains. You better bring that into the garage because you're not going to have anything left. It's going to melt in the rain. You don't want it to melt in the rain, do you? Anyway, so the Mefarshim say, that was a little bit stuck up of Choni HaMa'agel. So because of that, it didn't rain. So he'd palil v'lo yardu gishamim. So that put him in his place. Okay. So what did he do? He draws the circle around him. Aguga v'yamad betocha. V'yamad lefanav. Ribonar shel olam. Look, banecha samu paneyam alai. You know, the kids, your kids, they're all looking to me. They know that I'm like a member of your bayit. Anike ben bayit lefanecha. And they figure, if anybody can help, it's because HaKadosh Baruch Hu will respond to Choni HaMa'agel. It's not because I think I'm great. Nishba ani b'shimcha gadol. I'm taking a shvua. I am not going to move out of this circle until you start caring about your kids and show rachamim. So it started to drip a little bit. Ah, he says, that's not what I'm talking about, man. Lo kach sha'alti. I'm talking about serious rain. Elagishmei boro, shichen umarot. I want enough rain to fill up all of the reservoirs. They get the ditches and the cistern. I want serious rain. That's not rain. So it started gushing. So Choni says, wait a minute, I'm not talking about gushing rain. I'm talking about sweet rain, tender rain, happy rain, but lots of rain. Gishmi ratzon, bracha, unedava. So then the rains came down the way they were meant to, yardu ketikunan. But they just kept coming and coming and coming. And so they finally had to leave town and go up to the Har HaBayit because they couldn't slosh around in the streets of Yerushalayim anymore. So they had to go up to the Har HaBayit, mipnei hagashamim. So they came to complain to Choni. And they said to him, you know, thanks a lot, but could you maybe pray that they stop now? So geshem shit palat alayim sheyerdu, we've had more than enough. Kachit palel sheyokulam, let them go away. It's from those days that we have those famous songs, rain, rain, go away, come on. That's when all of that started. So, and he said to them, well, go and take a look and see. Im nimchet even hato'im. So Gemara talks about the even hato'im. That was the place where anybody, it was basically the Yerushalayim lost and found. So everybody knew that if they're, I mean, because in normal places, you just have people that go to Richie's Pizza, where they would put up all of the signs of anybody that had lost something. You know, you didn't need an Even HaTohim. The problem was that in Yerushalayim, you've got people coming in from all over the place, and therefore they don't know their way around. We have no idea where somebody dropped something in the Har HaBayit. I mean, he could come from Timbuktu for that matter. So because of that, they had this public lost and found area that was in a very high place. It was called the Even HaTohim. And people would come and they would leave their notices there and deposit it with people that could give it back to them. And because of that, it was in a high place. And so he said, go see if that stone has been washed away. Now, in the Yerushalmi, it says that's obviously ridiculous. And what he was trying to say was, you know, if there's so much rain that it would wash away the Even HaTohim, so then I would pray that it would stop. But that's ridiculous. You can't wash away the Even HaTohim. But over here, Rashi says maybe the pshat is that the Even HaTohim would be covered with water. So there is, he means it literally. He doesn't mean it as like a joke. He says, so over there in the Rishon, it says, Kishem she'i efshesh Even HaTohim, and so on, kachi, I'm not going to be mistaken. But over here, it's much better. It's talking about literally, if the water got that high that it's covered with water, so then that much I would be willing to daven. Okay. What happened? We don't know. But basically, Shimon ben Shetach heard about this. And he said, this is what a chutzpah. This is how you talk to Kodesh Baruch Hu. I don't want that kind of rain. That's not what we're talking about. Hey, man, you know exactly what I'm talking about. That's awful. What a way to be. And I'm not leaving this circle until you start being Merachim Abonecha. Like, what? And he says, I'll tell you one thing. If you were anybody else, I would put you in a cherem. Because Rani Alecha Nidui. What kind of way to talk is that? But I can't do anything to you. You're like a wild kid. You do whatever you want. And you don't behave. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he loves you. He does whatever you want. Another place it says, the kid says to his father, after he finishes reading him the first story, another story. And the father keeps saying, this is the last one. And the kid insists, another story. So he gets another story. So that's what you're like. I can't say anything about that. I mean, you can't tell a father not to bring that extra glass of water or whatever, the cookie. So that's the way you are. V'alecha katuv omer. Yismacha vicha vimecha v'togel yolatecha. This could also be a remez to avicha vimecha. It's Klal Yisrael and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This is the way a person is supposed to be, that he's a ben bayis to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that he feels he can say what he really needs. And that's like you say it to your own fathers, bringing it to your crib. Now the question is, which was a shayla that we had mentioned earlier briefly, at what point is it? Yeah, absolutely. That's why it's called Choni. We mentioned this. All of the people that have to do with the water issues are all Chen's people, right? So it's Nechunya, which we're going to see, Choni, Reb Yochanan, many examples. Anyway, so what happens if they had been Mis'anim and then it starts to rain? So at what point can you say that we don't have to continue fasting? So let's say Ayu Mis'anim. It started because you started Alos HaShachar. The Geshamim, however, they come down before the Netzach Hamas. So it's even before the time for your Tfilas Hamidas. You haven't started with the Tfilas and so on. So then you don't have to finish. Lo Yashlimu. So you can stop the fast. But Li'achar HaNetzach Hamas, once it's already after Netzach Hamas, so then that means that this day is a time that you've already sensed the fasting, because the younger people would be eating already, and the other people are davening for the tainis and so on. So then you already sense that the tainis is in full swing. Then yashlimu. Rabbi Eliezer says, no, it's chatzos that's koveya. So if it's noon, so if it's before chatzot, lo yashlimu. Only if it was already, half of the day was already spent in the tainis, then yashlimu. Because the time that people really get hungry and they feel that they're missing a serious meal is chatzos time. No, fine. Okay, I mean, there's other approaches as well, but Rashi suggests that over here. Lamaisa, the other approaches include the question of the sugi that we had earlier that we learned from Ezra and Nehemiah, that the first half of the day is the Mayina B'milei D'mata, and not the time of the normal day. So that means that there's already a sense of the chashivas, of the tainus that we've been basic in. And it once happened that in Lud, there was a tainus and it started to rain before Chatzot. So Rabbi Tarfon said to them, go eat and drink, and not only that, make it a yontif, because he was obviously paskening a kabbalozer. And they did. V'yatsu, v'yachlu, v'shasu, v'yasu yom tov, uvo ben arbaim. Then they came back, mincha time, and they said, halal agadol. Halal agadol, of course, is the kili olam chasto. And that was the 26 kili olam chasto, because over there it says, neisim lechem l'chol basar kili olam chasto, like the Gemara explained why it's called halal agadol. Now, the problem is that this can't possibly be correct, because we know, as we saw earlier, the Mishnah claims that Seder Taniot Elu is Berevia Rishona, but I mean, we had the whole sugya before. It's never the Revia Rishona that defines Ramini. Rishona Vishnia is for what purposes? For She'ela. So that's why we wanted to define it. The seventh of the month, the third of the month, and the 17th. We had the three-way machlokas, right? But what was that for, that determination? For determining when we should start being Mevakesh the Geshami. It's only the last one is considered to be a serious lack of rain. And if the third one of the Revia is passed, then we have to start the Lehit Anot. But here it says Revia Rishona, but that isn't true. So the Mishnah is running against the entire Sugya and the Braisa before on Revia. No. The Mishnah means that Seder Taniyota Amur Eimotai. The Revia Rishona here is used as a synonym for the Yoreh. So what it's saying is, if the Yoreh, which is the Revia Rishona, Shnei V'Shlishis, have already gone by, so then that's when you have to be Mitzaneh. But suppose the Yardu Gishomim for the first Revia, and it was planted, and they started to grow, or they grew, and they mutated, or the other pshat and Rashi, that other started growing these terrible weeds and thistles, then matrin aleihem miyad. That's what the Mishnah is pointing at. So the Mishnah is not simply saying that the normal Seder HaTainius is gradual, the same way the Revia Shnia V'Shlishis is gradual. The Mishnah is coming to analyze the interrelationship between the various times. So if the Yorah was completed, then we'd start the Misana. But if the Yoreh had started, and then you have Arboim Yom that you didn't, or you have other issues that require immediate attention, that's what the point of the Mishnah is. It's all meant to be read together. Omer of Nachman, let's understand this. It means Nishtanu of a Yavshu. It means that there's some kind of mutation, or it's showing signs of being in desperate need of water. But if it already is dried, forget it. then we don't, because it's a tefillah shav. Once plants had started and then they dried up, you can't get them going again by adding water. And therefore, there's no point in making these taniyot. So therefore, im yavshu, lo. That's Rashi's own pshat tosfos, and Rashi brings the second pshat the same. That's the other way around. That for drying, that happens very often. And the plants have a built-in mechanism to deal with the drying later on in the season, so that you're not going to lose your whole crop anyway. So over there, it's not considered to be an emergency. It's the exact opposite pshat. Pshita, I mean, what are you telling me? Only if it's nishtanu, but not if it's yavshu. I mean, I know how to read, you know. It said in the Mishnah, nishtanu. So what do you think it means? Nishtanu t'nai. I don't need Reb Nachman to tell me how to read, do I? No, but Reb Nachman needed to tell you in a specific case. And that was where akun, where you had the kona, meaning that there was growth after the drying, the growth of the stalk continued. So you might think, so ma'adate, akanta miltehi. You might think that that's an indication that there's sufficient moisture left in the plant, that it's still active and it's growing, and that therefore it's possible to save them, and therefore we should do whatever we can. Kamash Malan Reb Nachman, even though it was akun, it's lav milti, it's not chashuv, the akun. It's not going to be an indication that the plant will survive. Now, obviously, the other pshat has it the exact opposite, that you might have thought that if it's akun, then you're in trouble because it already used it up in the akun, kamash malan, that it's still not kitai. V'chein pasku gishamim ben geshem geshem, 40 days. And the other things, then we say, why? Because it's a makat batsoret. What do you mean exactly it's a makat batsoret? Because, I mean, there is no batsoret yet, right? But meanwhile, it wasn't even time to collect this food. So what do you mean it's a makat batsoret? So I don't understand the language. Omer Yiram Rav, it doesn't mean it's a makat that is currently batsoret. It means if you can identify clearly what is going to be happening, and this is a makah that is going to definitely be leading to a drastic reduction in food supply, then you have to respond. Furthermore, Om Reb Nachman, there are different levels, because there's a machlokas we've shown him about how this is nogea, but most learn that if you have an immediate famine, that you deal with it immediately. And that, therefore, we're coming to explain the difference between a batsoret, not the batsoret that we just mentioned, of Rabbi Yehuda. This is the way the Ritva explains it, because it's a very problematic gemara if you don't explain it. But Ritva says, I admit that this is pretty shvach, but I don't know how else to explain it. Although there is a different approach among Rishonim, where the whole question is not a question, because according to them, there's no difference between a batsoret and a kafna. It's just a question of how we use the word. So it's a semantic issue. But if you learn that a batsoret is one response and a kaftan is a different response, and then we just said that Rav Yehuda explained that the lashon of batsoret in the Mishnah is a batsoret that is, I see a batsoret coming. So then he seems to be saying you have to respond immediately to I see a batsoret coming. And that means that we're breaking down the difference between a kafna and a batsoret. So the reverse explains that it's talking about over here when he says that it's going to be coming, it's boim the batsoret, it means it's coming to a batsoret, which is ultimately a kafna, not a dangerous sign. So if it's used in that sense, okay, maybe. Anyway, Om Reb Nachman, let me explain that if it's nahara to a nahara, then now there's a big question what exactly this means, nahara to nahara. But if it's nahara to a nahara, which could mean that you've got an ability to bring food from the area where the batsoret is through a river. Now, a canal transport is always very efficient. You can load up a whole barge with food. It's not going to be such a big disaster. It's easy to get food there. So then it's only considered to be a batsoret, which does not lead to kafna, but it's not real kafna. But if it's Medinta, if you're going to have to use the road system, where are you going to get those truck drivers? You know what happens. As soon as you need truck drivers, they're not there. So Medinta, That is a kafna. That's how one approach. The other approach is that it means if you have some one river, but there's another river accessible, then that means it's okay. It's just a reduction in the water supply. But if there's water that has to be shipped in as opposed to piped in, so to speak, that's serious, and that's considered to be a kafna. The Omer Rabbi Hanina, there's another thing to understand over here, and that's the impact of inflation and the impact of a depression. Because not having food does not necessarily mean there's no food in the marketplace. It means there's no way to get that food. So look, you can have the price of wheat for a whole sa'ah, and it's going to cost you a sella instead of four sa'ahs. That was the normal price. And there's lots of wheat around, you know, but it's just inflation is driving prices up. So you can go to the store and get the wheat if you're ready to pay for it. That's called a batsara. But if you've got four normal price, four sabisela, and you've got nonetheless problems in finding them. So you may have government controls on your gasoline, but you go to buy fuel and there's no fuel in the gas station. You know, so then we're talking about a kafna. Omer Rabbi Yochanan, there's another thing you have to explain, and that is it depends on the economy. That lo shano bizman shema'ot bizol v'aperot biyoker. We're talking about this. We're talking about that if you've got lots of money and it's difficult to find the peres because it's expensive, okay, then that's true. It's a function of expense. But if the expense a function of the ability to get the produce, right? But if the ma'ot are biyoker, suppose there's plenty of food, but nobody's got any money. Everybody's out of work. It's a depression. So you don't have an inflation, but you have a depression. Then matrina le'amiyad, because if people don't have money, there are going to be people starving in the streets. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, listen, I remember when I was a kid that you could get plenty of wheat and it was cheap. Havikaima arba soim besela. And people were dying from hunger in the streets of Tveria. I mean, because nobody had a penny. Vavinafishi nafiche chapan betveria minoleti sar. Because nobody had an iser. An iser is a penny. It's like almost 1/100. It's 1/96. It's almost 1/100 of the seller. People didn't even have a penny. And you're telling me, well, it's cheap. You know, for one seller, you can get so much. Yeah, great. Show me a seller when people don't have a penny. So that's also considered to be a famine. So the famine is not necessarily defined by agriculture. It can be defined by supply, and it can be defined by economic situation. They're all included in these ta'aniyot. Okay, then you said in the Mishnah, what if the rain didn't fall properly? It fell enough for the tzmachim, for plants, but not for trees. Okay, now I understand how that's possible, because we said before that light rains that are continuous are good for the wheat. Right, but you need for trees, you need razia rain, so you need more heavy rain. I understand the opposite also. You could have rains that are heavy, which are good for the ilanot and not for the tzmachim. Okay, obviously, asya razia velo asya necha. I can also understand that you can have lezev lezev lo leborot velo leshichin umarot. I understand, because you could have rain of both types: heavy rain, light rain. But not a lot of rain. So if it's not a lot of rain, so then there wasn't time to fill up the cisterns. Okay, that's fine. But I do not understand the braita that says that if rain fell for borot shichinu ma'arot, but did not fall neither for the trees nor for the petua, how is that possible? I understand if there was enough rain to fill up even the cisterns. What do you mean, how? Bishvichuta. You might have had this incredible storm. So you had what people call a torrential storm, and that damages trees, it damages this rain, and there's still tons of rain. Obviously, there's flooding, and all the reservoirs get filled up. That's all very nice, but you need to fast for that also. Tana Rabbana, Matriin ala ilanot b'frotz ha-pesach. If trees don't have enough water, so you can even make, even though this is not the time that it, normally you want it to rain, but this is considered to be an emergency. Ala barot shichinu ma'arot, and if people don't have water to drink, you can do this even before the time of a normal time of Sukkot. You could do it b'frotz ha-chag. It's a question over here whether b'frotz ha-chag means b'frotz ha-chag, meaning of Shavuos to come, which is the pashtus of the Rishonim, says it's referring to Shavuos, and even though it's considered to be derech neis to ask for this, but it's talking about that people don't have anything to drink. And indeed, im ein lahem mayim lishtot, matriyim alayim miyad. So the first pshat, if it's talking about Sukkot, the pashtus of the meaning of the chag, it means even though it is in time for she'elis kishamim, but people have to have water to drink. And since it's roy for the rains, we just normally don't want it to rain during Sukkot, or to rain during the time that people are going back to their homes in Chutzlarts for after Aliyah L'Regel. Fine. But under these circumstances, people are not going to, are going to die of thirst. They didn't have a barnea to make sure that everybody would have water bottles wherever they go. So over there, it would be okay. Not only that, but if people don't have enough water to drink, then the matrina lea miyad, whenever it is, you immediately do whatever you need to do. When you say miyad, what does that mean? Today, on the very day that you realize that there's a problem with the water supply? No. It means sheni v'chamishi sheni. We said that we don't make a tainus unless it's sheni v'chamishi sheni. That's what miyad means, the next available Monday. Val kulan, ein matrina leyem, ela biparchir shalahem. You're only going to do these issues where you don't have enough rain for the ilanot, for the chitah, or for the bor and shechinah maharot. That is local. So these are not things that spread like the other things in the Mishnah. But if you're talking about a askara, so askara is diphtheria. So this is like diseases that are absolutely contagious. So then bisman shigeshba mita matrina leh. If people are dying from it, then you're matriin. But bisman shein ba mita ein matrina leh. But if you see govai, bechoshu, matrina leh govai, because govai, those are the kind of locusts that are the chasil, and they eat everything, and that this, even a couple of them, they usually travel in swarms, and if you've seen a couple of them, that means that there's swarms in the area. Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar Omer, even on a chagav swarm, just because they don't finish everything, doesn't mean that you don't have to be concerned at the impact. Tana Rabbana, matriin al ha'ilanot b'shar shnei shavua, where we talked about over here, that were mispalel for the ilanos, that's in the other years, not during Shemitah. Because during Shemitah, there's two reasons not to be mispalel during Shemitah that the Mefarshim explained. One is that the Torah told us that if you're going to ask me, so what am I going to eat during the Shemitah? So I'll be mitzvah for the bracha, so on and so forth, right? Which means that if you're going to be mispalel, davka, that things should grow for Shemitah to provide us food, so then it's as if you're announcing that HaKadosh Baruch Hu's bracha is not useful. That's one approach. The other approach is because the trees are considered to be hefker, because everybody can come and can take things. So because of that, if there's no personal bias on anything, so then we're not going to be mispalel on them. But ala borot v'ala shichin v'ala marot, mashenken, on the drinking water, that's afil b'shvi'it. Reb Shimon ben Gamliel omer, no, you absolutely can be mispalel on the ilanot bashvi'it. Because both time, because the aniyim are supposed to have access to the trees, right? That's where they're going to get. That's what it says. And so on. So it's all very nice to say you are okay because I was mitzaveh the bracha to you. And what about the poor aniyim who don't have these orchards and they don't have that bracha? Their bracha is for shvi'is. So the fact that we're mispalel during Shvi'is is perfectly understandable for the aniyim. Mivnei sheyesh ben parnasa la'aniyim. And another brayta says, not only are we matriin, as we'll see that the machlokas involves also other issues during Shvi'is. So the first part is the same. Matriin, ilanot, only on other years and not during Shvi'is. And here, Reb Shimon ben Gamliel extends his heter, and he says, "Afal ilanot," also during Shemitah, and not only that, but even on the Sfichim, we're mispalel. So obviously, this is dependent on the machlokas that we have elsewhere about whether Sfichim of grain is considered to be part of the gezer, only Sfichim of Yerakot is also. So the first lashon of Reb Shimon ben Gamliel that did not say Matrin ala Sfichim is because the Sfichim were also. The second lashon that says Matrin was going according to the Shitas that it would not be also, and therefore we're mispalel on. Tani Yom Reb Elazar ben Pratim, Yom Shecharav, Beit HaMikdash, Nasar Gishamim, Tzimukim Lolam. The requirements for rain, it's become very dry and tight now. And it's not like everything is free like it used to be. Yeshana Shegishamei Merubim, Yeshana Shegishamei Muatim, Yeshana Shegishamei Yordim Mizmana, Yeshana Shein Gishamei Yordim Mizmana. You know, and it's a different kind of life. I mean, look, you know what is Shana Shegishamei Yordim Mizmana? You know, Lamaudome. Imagine you're an Eved, and the Rav gives the Eved everything he's going to need for the week. He gives it to him on Sundays. He's got time to prepare his food. Shabbos comes along. He's got a beautiful Shabbos. And Nimtzes Isa Nafet Ketikuna, Nechela Ketikuna. So there's time to make everything right. And the same thing is true on the Tfuah. It has time to ripen, and it ripens properly, and everything is good, and it's time. But in English, Amel Yardim is Mana. So then it's like a servant, Shanatana Rabba Panasaton, Erev Shabbos. How much is he going to be able to accomplish? I understand that you saved the food supply, but obviously it's not going to be the normal food. So it's like an Erev Shanatana Rabba Panasaton, Erev Shabbos. The Isa is not Fetchalot Ketikuna. It doesn't taste correct. It doesn't have an opportunity to be prepared properly. Nechelot Shalot Ketikuna. It's like, get you over here. Shana Shegishamei Merubin. If you got enough rain. You know what that's like? That's like Evet Shnatano Rabba Panasato Bevatachat. So if
things messed up, we'll have plans.
Yeah, the rain's gone to pot as well.
Sorry about that. I had to switch internet suppliers. Okay, so what is that like? It's like you're given enough that you're going to need at one time. So then that's great. Why is that great? Because of economies of scale. Economies of scale are so important. So if you've got a lot of things, and you can handle the whole thing at once. So what's the loss in a rechaim? Loss in rechaim is whenever you start doing your grinding process, then you're going to have that first bit of grain is going to get stuck in between the wheels. It's going to fill up the stones and so on. Okay, fine. But then you've got another gigantic amount, which is a whole kur. And there it's not going to lose anymore. Or if you've got a tiny amount, you're going to lose the same amount from the tiny amount. Then 3 days later, you got another tiny amount. You're going to lose the same amount from the second tiny amount. And so you lose all your economies of scale. So if you've got it on time, so you're going to have as much loss from a gigantic kur as from a tiny kav. You understand how much you're going to be getting from 180 times more, it works out to. The same thing is true over here. But shana shegishamei muatim, l'mahu domeh, le'evet shenatan lo rabo parnasato me'at ma'at. He gets a little bit at a time. So every time he comes to grind a little bit, he loses the same amount. Nimtzu rechayim asher tochanot min hakur, what they could have been taking from something that was 180 times more, they take out of the tiny little kav, and it's going to lose the same amount. And that means that the amount of dough that you get, you got the same problem. You're going to now start, as Richie can tell you, you're going to start kneading the dough for your matzahs or for your pizza. And what happens? There's always that loss in the dough that gets stuck to the kneading trough and so on. So if you've got a giant amount of dough, you're going to lose the same amount of dough as a little bit of dough. So nimtzet isa kamashinei chelet min hakur chelet min hakav. Davar acher. Is another example, which is very powerful. And that is a guy who is making cement, right? So he starts mixing. And the truck's going, and everything's mixing. All of a sudden, this hose goes dry. He can't get any water in there. What's he going to do now? He started mixing, but he ran out of water. And so if you got merubim, so then you're an adam shemekabela tatit, and you got lots of water, so fine. So the water is still there. Then you can use as much of it as you want. Vatit megubayafeh. But im yesh lamayim muatim, it's very easy to make a mistake in how much you originally put in. This, in more local terms, is when you start making oatmeal and you don't have enough milk. So it's the same phenomenon. Oh my God, how am I going to eat that? So im yesh lo mayim rabim, mayim einam kalim, vatit megubayafeh. Im yesh lo mayim muatim, so then the mayim kalim, vatit einam mitkabel yafeh. Toner Rabbanon Pamachat Alu Ko Yisrael Regel Yerushalayim Velo Hayalayim Mayim Lishtot. And so Halach Nagdimon Ben Gurion Etzol Donachat. So this guy Nagdimon, who was very rich, and he was a big Baal Tzedakah that always helped out with Elias Regel. So he goes to this guy, and he says, "Listen, I'll make you a deal. You lend me 12 of your wells that are filled with water, so that the other golem will have enough water, and I'm going to give it back to you. I'm going to give you back 12 wells. I know you don't believe me because it's been a year without any rain, okay? So here's the deal. If I don't get that water back to you, I am going to give you 12 kikrot of kesef, an enormous amount of money. And if you don't get it back by such and such a date, you get your money." Here. Okay, Kavalo Zvant, the guy figured, okay, what are the chances that he's going to be able to get this water back? We haven't had rain all year. So, sure enough, the day comes, there hasn't been any rain. So this guy sends him a message in the morning. Okay, can you have I would take a cashier's check or the water, whatever you want. Probably easier the cashier's check, wouldn't you say? So Nagdimon sets them, well, what's the rush? There's plenty of time. We said by the end of the day. We didn't say by the morning of the day. What are you sending me a message at the beginning of the day? Fine, the guy says, okay. I understand the poor guy. He's about to lose everything. All right, so now it's the afternoon. He says, okay, I waited. There's not a cloud in the sky. We haven't had rain all year. How about the cashier's check? What do you say? Shagirli, omayim omaochi yeshli biyadecha. He said to him, I got lots of time. What do you mean? There's still a few hours left. Adain yeshli shalot biyom. Fine. Comes mincha time. Oh my God. Now it's mincha katana. So he says to him, all right, water or check. He sends him back. There's plenty of time. The guy starts giggling. Ligalegalov. Same lotion. Giggle, giggle, wiggle, wiggle. Right? It's just the same sound. So ligalegalov. So the guy starts giggling. This guy's crazy. To be that stubborn because you can't face your loss. Come on, just pay up, you know. So there hasn't been a drop of rain all year, but this Meshugana actually believes he's going to get rain. So now this next piece is straight out of Dune, right? So here it is. You're on Arrakis. There's not a drop of water for anybody else, but this guy, he basically comes from off planet. He's got all the water that he needs. So he's even got himself a Beit HaMerchatz to go taking a nice hot bath in while everybody else doesn't even have what to drink. Fine. He goes into his Beit HaMerchatz and he's thinking about the big party with his kikrot of kesev. Meanwhile, Acha Adon Nichnas B'Simchatola Beit HaMerchatz, Nakdimon goes into the Beis HaMikdash and boy, he is not happy. So Nitatefi Amad Batfila, and he says, Takarish Borchu Riboni Shalom, Kalui Viadula Fanacha Shalodach Fodoi Asiti, Velodach Fod Beit Abba Asiti. I did not do this for my own cover or for our family. I did this for your cover. Shiyu Mayim Lishtot Mayim Mitsuyim Lolo Regalim. So immediately, Nitkashu Shamayim Ba'avim, enormous storm. And Yardu Geshamim Achitit Malu Shtemetzri Mayanot Mayim Vautirum. They were more filled than they had been originally. Meanwhile, the guy's getting out of his Beit HaMerchatz. Nakdimon Ben Gurion is coming out of the Beis HaMikdash, and they meet each other. So Nakdimon says to him, well, I think I only agreed to give you back what I took, but There's been a 20% increase. Let's figure out what that is prorated that you should pay me back now, because I've given you too much water. Amar lo, so the guy says, all right, fancy, fancy. Okay, I accept the fact that this happened. But doesn't matter. I'm going to take you to court. And I'm going to get my money. Because it's all very nice that it's a miracle, but miracles don't mean anything to the courts. Bottom line is, was it at the appointed day or was it after the appointed day? I can show you by the clock when it started to rain, and it was after Shkia, and I can prove it was after Shkia by the Naval Observatory time, and Kvar Shaka Chama, which means that all of this rain is mine, and it came for me, not for you. And therefore, you're going to have to pay. So the Gishamim Birshuti Yardu, they came down in my rishus, not in your rishus. And therefore, I insist on my money. So Nachtimon Ben-Gurion goes back in to the Beis HaMikdash, and he says, Ribbono shel Olam, hoda sheyesh lecha ohavim ba'olamecha. Show that you have lovers in this world. Immediately, nitpazu ohavim v'zorcha hachama, hotasha amar lo adon. Oh, man, if it wouldn't be that Niktra Hachama, I would have been able to go to court. Now I'm stuck. But now, I don't have. Tana lo nagdimon shmo lo buni shmo. His real name was Mr. Bean originally. So he was really not a famous guy as Nachtimon Ben-Gurion. They started calling him Nachtimon Ben-Gurion only after this Maisa, because the Chama was Niktama before him.